Good morning. For this morning's reading, I will read, O Mind, Listen for Once. This was published in the Sat Sandesh, September of 1971, and it's also chapter 7 of The Night is a Jungle. You may call it heart, or you may call it mind, but through its hands, people are selling themselves. Under the control of mind, one remains a man of the world, for mind is not made of consciousness, rather matter. Each and everything has its source and is naturally drawn to that. You can demonstrate this for yourself by throwing a ball of clay in the air as far as your strength will allow. Yet it will return to its own source, the earth. Or you can try to keep a flame upside down. It will not burn downward, it will rise upward, for its source is the sun. All masters stress that one should know oneself, for having identified ourselves with mind, which in turn has identified itself with the senses, indeed, complete forgetfulness has taken place. Birth after birth, the soul thrashes itself to pieces at the hands of the mind. And as long as the mind does not emancipate itself from the senses, and the soul gain freedom from the mind, and come to know itself in truth, it is impossible to know God. One great master says that if you are willing to make a strong resolution to realize the Lord, then put one foot on your mind to make it still, and without any effort, the next step you take will take you to your beloved. To win the mind is to win the world. The mind is difficult to understand, for its net is strong, and it has many departments. There is the pinned, or physical mind, lost in the outer enjoyments. The and and Brahmand, astral and causal mind. If one transcends all three, one realizes who one is. Mind is no small thing and is not easy to conquer. But we should start by changing its direction. While its face remains turned toward the worldly things, the soul will be worldly. If it turns around and faces the soul will become spiritual. We must turn it around. Like fire, it is a good servant and a bad master. As I speak on this subject, a certain hymn of Swamiji comes to mind, in which he has described with great beauty the tribulations of soul and mind. I have never taken this hymn before. Listen attentively, for masters open up the subject with deep clarity. O mind, listen to my words. If any man looks into his heart, he will have to admit, if he is honest, that it is filled with unhappiness through the mind's dominance, yet he knows no remedy for it. If you know that someone is stealing your money, one way of controlling the situation is to praise his honesty and work and make him your treasurer. Swamiji advises us to make a friend of the mind. It is our cruel enemy which will go on tormenting our life. But by making friends with it, we take the first step towards gaining the desired control. If one makes friends with an enemy, he may not immediately cease his enmity. He will, however, lessen the lengths of his cruelty. In this way, there are chances of his becoming stilled, during which time you will be more awakened. Here the soul is pleading to the mind, just listen to one word of mine. You are unhappy, and I am unhappy. Listen, and you will gain peace as well as I. After all, the mind is rarely happy. Do we not say so often, my heart is so sad? When we are restless, he is also restless. So this is an appeal from the soul, asking the mind to listen carefully. I have been thy slave birth after birth, and you have been my Lord. From the day we were separated from God and came into creation, I have been your slave, and have ever danced to whatever tune you chose, mind. I have always been completely yours. Please listen to me for once. I did not even obey God's words or the Guru's. Whatever you ordered, I obeyed. I read page upon page of holy scriptures and threw them all away and turned my face from the Lord just to obey you. Never once did I become God's servant. Never once did I serve the Guru. I served only you. So today, I pray you listen to me. You are called the Lord of three regions, wherein even the gods are your disciples. You are the Lord of the physical, astral, and causal regions. You are the master there with control over all the gods and goddesses. If you read authoritative books on the subject, you will find that the mind's orders are carried out on every plane. He is a great Lord, and all due respect is paid to him. Even when you rise above the physical form, you are still under his orders, Andi or astral mind, and then also in the causal plane, you are under the Brahmandi mind. It is his habit to again and again bring about your downfall. If the gods and goddesses bow down to him, what is the poor condition of man? Rishi, Muni, all are under your orders. Renouncer and righteous alike are in your territory. You are not even aware of what you are before transcending all three regions. The gods and goddesses are anxious to get human form, and it means only that the human form is the highest in all creation due to its great spiritual possibilities. Man, who has been given this desirable boon, is selling himself to the mind. One cannot say that it is entirely his fault, poor thing. O Nanak, mind can be controlled, but only through his full mercy. When God showers all his mercy and takes the soul above all three regions, then mind is powerless. Up to this point, the danger from the mind remains to lead the poor soul astray. Within your control are brave men and yogis. No one can disobey your word. Because of its vast area of rule, everyone is under the mind's control. So among those who practice meditation, very few rise above even the first region. Even fewer rise above the second. And to rise above the third is really something rare. You bind whoever you wish to this world. Whoever you wish becomes free. The means of freedom lie in leaving the outer enjoyments of senses. If these outer tastes are not cast aside, one remains imprisoned here. Just look at the condition of the world today. Whatever the mind orders is carried out unquestionably, and what is more, those very orders are highly praised throughout the world. The Guru's word and holy books are all ignored. The mind's desires are fulfilled. Such high praise of you have I heard, so now I plead to you. If one has served a person devotedly, one can claim at least some rights from that person. So, will you not listen to me just once? You are unhappy, and so am I. Just grant my one request, and you will also accomplish something worthwhile. Only one word must you hear. All masters have explained this situation in their different ways to help the dear souls to realize the facts. Swamiji has personified the soul and the mind and has given expression to the plight of both. In this town, the body, in this valueless place, the world, why remain imprisoned in the darkness? In this body of filth, there is only dense darkness, so why remain imprisoned here? You who are Lord of all three regions, have you forgotten how great you really are? You are really an emperor, yet you have become a garbage collector. Think, awaken. The mind is also a brilliant magistrate who sits in judgment upon his own actions. Satguru told me one thing, take the mind with you. The Satguru advises the soul to take the mind along if it wants to return home. He never says to ignore the mind or leave it behind, that the soul should make it understand and make it agreeable. As long as man does not kill the physical mind and withdraw from the sense level, he cannot proceed. One must leave all sense attractions and rise above body consciousness. Otherwise, it remains impossible to go higher and taste the nectar of the Lord. Excessive eating and drinking, frittering away the attention on worldly sights, sounds, and sensation, all these are outer enjoyments which deny one the bliss of the inner enjoyments. Lord Buddha said we should be desireless, for desire is but sense enjoyment. Only by stepping aside from all this can one truly take a step ahead. If you can take the mind with you, it will be easier. If you forget yourself and your aim in the mind's enjoyments, you will lose all desire to progress. Make it your companion and make it understand the situation. For the mind is unhappy, so much so that at times it cries out in torment. The mind's habit is to drag everything downward. Yet as your friend, even if it wants to hurt you, it will not do so. Under such an arrangement, he might even cooperate with you. If he desires food, then agree. Yes, I will give you food. First, let us do a little meditation. Then we will have food. If you immediately refuse the food, he will be tormented with the desire for it. He is like a stubborn donkey. The more you restrict him, the more stubborn he becomes. It is a very accurate definition of the mind. If you make a note in a book, do not read page so-and-so, it will be the first page people will read. They won't be able to resist the temptation. So make your mind a companion. Don't fight with him. So I plead with thee, why delay? Transcend body consciousness. There is no truth in this world, no righteousness, no justice. Why not rise above and place all your attention in the ineffable one Lord? Until this happens, that eye is not developed to which you will have true perception. Two very powerful forces are anger and lust. They rule over everything. If the attention dwells on lust, the soul falls very low. In anger, the ego expands. The soul cannot be linked with Nam until it withdraws inwardly and rises above the senses. Our attention has instead become like an image of the mind. We want to enjoy all the low worldly things, yet we say we want the highest thing of all, the nectar of life. It is all wrong. How far do we think we will go? Do one thing at a time. Do not remain under this false impression. One saint says, where there is Nam, there is no calm, lust. Where there is calm, there is no Nam. Two cannot remain at once. The mind is a lover of enjoyments, and in the Nam there is the Maharas, the most delectable nectar one can ever taste. If only the mind would take one true sip, it would never again yearn for lower enjoyments. This place is insipid, O friend. Mind, drink the nectar of Nam. We have also, when that nectar comes, this other taste is not to one's likings. Now you are dragging the mind with you to get inside. Then you will have to persuade it to return. Beauty and attractive sounds are two principal factors in keeping one's attention outside, dragging it away from its natural inner inclinations. The poisonous mind gets intoxicated while enjoying beautiful sights and sounds. Even a snake, on hearing the music of the veena, rests its head down and cannot move. It becomes helpless. If outer sounds can have such magnetism, what might be the attractive power of the inner spiritual music and beauty? All glory and beauty lie within you. Tulsi Sahib says, when I went to Brahmand, the world became insignificant. When I reached Parbrahm, Brahmand seemed like a washroom. So it is possible to gain control over the mind only in the company of a Satguru. He will help you befriend it and so make the path easier. Then it may start to listen to you, whereas it usually does not. Many find this difficulty in meditation and say that their mind does not allow them to meditate. So Swamiji is so beautifully advising one to, with love, make it your companion. Love is such a magnificent thing that it can control even the worst-charactered person. No matter how much you hate your pitiful situation, yet hate will only serve to increase the problem. You may throw all the filth out of a dirty house, yet the smell of that will spread and permeate not only the interior of your house, but the surroundings too. The true solution is to start washing with the water of love, and gradually the badness will wash away forever. If you are good to your enemy, his enmity will be softened somewhat. Rise above the body, and if you would then care for 1,000 things, they will be given unto you. Guru Amar Das says, O mind, you desired 1,000 things, yet not one was fulfilled. Take my advice, and complete fulfillment will come. One has seen this world and lived in it. Now go up and enjoy that place. Leave now all sensual indulgence, and the way will be easier. At present, you are at the mercy of the mind, for no one can say he is free, although at least you may not return to the world. When the mind tastes the nectar of Nam, he will not wish to indulge in the lower enjoyments. Do this much, and you will have inner peace and happiness. There are other stages ahead wherein the soul falls again and again, even though she is not in this world. Have you ever studied yourself to see if you have progressed at all? We usually find that we were better before, and now we have become worse, for this is the condition of the whole world today. A businessman gives great thought to the method of his business before he starts it, and every so often reviews the position of profit or loss. We unheedingly throw away our precious lives day by day with never a care about how we stand spiritually. The aim is to gain freedom, and we are daily sinking into more slavery under the whip of our desires. If we live recklessly when our hair is black, at least when it turns to white, we should give some thought to how we are living and what it will avail us. Hindu or Muslim, Sikh or Christian, regardless of our religion, we have to get out of the mind's clutches. The same devilry continues. Merely learning a few words on the subject and then nodding the head as if one knows everything, is this spirituality? We may be able to fool the world, never the Lord. To deceive people will avail nothing, particularly not God realization. The Lord is not an innocent child to believe anything you wish. He sees the true condition of your life, inwardly and outwardly. I have no other companion like you, mind. I am yours, and you are mine. The soul offers the mind a token of friendship. I have no other friend but you, for we have been companions for birth after birth. So listen to me today. I, who have been a slave to you for so long, with love and persuasion, it tries to help the mind understand the situation. Now listen to your slave and agree with me. Rise above body consciousness and make your home there. Whether it is said in very simple words or in a complicated fashion, the fact remains the same. The only way to leave the senses behind and transcend into the beyond. If you are really interested in spirituality, you will be wise to fully accept this. You will also have to make your life pure and chaste. All masters say the same, even those with a simple vocabulary. What is there to realizing the Lord? Uproot it from here and plant it there. As you were, so again become. Why suffer unhappiness and happiness here? Go back to whence you came and enjoy the real and lasting happiness there. There are unending miseries and joys in this world. None of them are real. The more you live above body consciousness, the more peace will reign in you. Even when you daily have to return, yet the coolness of spirit gained there will protect you from the heat of the world. And you can always go again at will. The world is suffering from illusion only. The world is being consumed in illusion's invisible fire. As the inner fire of passion burns, so does the outer fire of illusion. In sparsely scattered places, you may find a complete master sitting. One can enjoy the refreshing coolness only in their company. Satguru revealed the secret unto me. Take the mind as companion and return home. For as long as the mind remains within its own territory, you have to take it with you. If you want to start from the beginning, that is more difficult, almost impossible. Why? Because you have become the very image of the mind and cannot separate yourself from it. I, the soul, am in your power. Without your help, I cannot contact the Shant. Cooperation from the mind is necessary, for where does one contact the Shant? Above the body consciousness, after leaving the senses. The soul cannot hear the sound without rising above the physical, above the nine centers, reaching the tenth. And without the mind's help, the process is very long. This is an appeal to the mind so that it will agree to help, like a man inducing his friend to do some work for him. If you do not listen to me, then go into the cycle of 84. If the mind does not listen and cooperate, then one has to continue on the wheel of births and deaths. So it is to the mind's own advantage to be agreeable if it wants to gain freedom from the coming and going in creation. Now show mercy unto me. Hear my plea. Search out that sound. There is a sound of truth vibrating within, a sound which is sung in every being. There is a great attraction in hearing this sound, through which all other attractions will fade away, and the stage of senses will be left behind. One becomes free of them. This mouse mind has become heavy by drinking the weight of God's name. The mind can be weighted down by the mercury-like quality of the Nam, rendering it impossible to run around loose or engage in its ever-constant oscillations. There is no other means of controlling the mind. The accounts of Lord Krishna's life state that he jumped into the river Jumna and controlled the hydra-headed serpent there with the sound of his flute. This many-headed serpent is the mind, which has a thousand ways of inflicting its poison. And without that sound from the beyond, it cannot be controlled or overcome. Outer intellect and knowledge have no power over it, for though it may remain quiet for a short time, it will then run away again. If you cover a fire with ashes, it would seem there is no fire at all. Yet a strong breeze will revive it and reveal the heat lying beneath. However, if you throw water on it, even a thousand tornadoes would fail to revive it. Keep the company of those who are the Nam itself. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the atmosphere surrounding such personalities, there is a charging, a radiation, a rare tranquility. One Muslim prophet declares that the mind cannot be killed until it comes under the shadow of a perfect master. Even 1,000 practices will be of little avail if you cannot leave the senses and have a contact with Nam, without which there is no salvation. Let you and me climb above. We will reside on the hill of Samara. Samara lies above the physical plane. And the soul says, come, let us go there. The days are hot here, and there we will enjoy a cool breeze. The whole world is being consumed in flames. Come, let us rise above the heat of physical consciousness and enjoy the coolness. O mind, we will be happy there, for here we are both unhappy. When we reach there, you will be king, and I will go ahead to Radha Swami. The mind becomes king of Triloki, the three regions, physical, astral, and causal, and remains there. For mind is the instrument of the negative power, just as the soul is an entity of God, the ocean of all consciousness. So the mind comes into its own kingdom, blending in one with the Lord of the three stages, and the soul goes to its true home. I have a couple of minutes left, and I just wanted to read a prayer from Master's book, also called Prayer, and it's particularly applicable to this topic. It's called Ode to the Satguru. Long and dreary has been the struggle of the mind, all in vain. All potent art thou, and can do aught, then why this delay? Wandering up and down in the wheel of life, I have never had a success. O munificent Lord, have mercy. Free the spirit and concentrate it all. The arch enemy of the mind is but a waste. O sow in it the seeds of love. Enamored of false delights, it knows not true happiness. Hankering after the pleasures of the world, it has never tasted the sweetness of the Lord. What should I do? How should I try to set it right? For it does not take to the word of the Master. The mind is a curious medley and has no interest in the Shabd. How can it save itself from the vicious cycle of births and deaths when it does not practice the word given by the Master? It shall keep tossing in the world and remain in the clutches of Yama, the god of death. Forgetful of the word of the Master, it shall suffer terribly. O Master, immanent in every heart, why dost thou not lead me out? When there is none else whom I can call mine own, O take me to the heaven above. Have mercy on me now, and take me to thy heavenly house as thy may. Entangled in evil thoughts, I am an utter stranger in a strange land. Reform me this time, and I shall lovingly think of thee all the time. I feel repentant and sad, as I know not how to contact my beloved. He lives in the high heavens, while I am a creature of the earth and miserable without him. O Sadguru, attend to my tale of woe and take me out of the domain of death. In sheer helplessness I cry unto thee. Thou, O beloved, hast encouraged me to fly to the heavens with the wings of love. Thy grace has enabled me to meet my beloved and to escape from all toils and miseries. O Master, just listen to my prayer. I bow unto thee again and again. Drive the evil out of me and grant me proximity to thy lotus feet. Ferry me safely ashore, for my bark is in the midst of an eddying whirl. None save thee is my own. Save me as thine own, O Master. With all my ills, I am yet thine, and thou art donor beyond all limitations. I worship thee with all my heart and soul, and make a sacrifice of all unto thee. Now I have a powerful sheet anchor, though I know not thy worth. Thou hast explained the mystery of the inner sound current. The devil of the mind listens to it not. Wandering in the ups and downs of life, it runs after name and fame. How may I turn its directions without thy loving grace, O Master? O Lord of my spirit, listen to my prayer and pull the mind out from its rut. I ask of the Master but one gift. Make me recognize the mystic word. All my life I have wandered with the mind. O free me from the bondage of karmas. Let my consciousness recede within and hear the ceaseless sound and the mind grow still. Thus can I escape from all ills and reach the eternal place of Sat Shabd, the true mystic word. Grant unto me the intoxication of the word, so that I may remain absorbed in it. Thy harm and dishonor shall not affect me, for I shall always be lost in thy sweet memory. Let me not be swept off by this time stream. Grant me the sheet anchor of the world. My mind has now grown humble, O Master. Let it lose itself in thy lotus feet. O Master, take me to thy abode. O thou the merciful, take me to thy abode. What should I do? My strength fails me, and my mind finds no rest. O Satguru, take pity on me, for I remain miserable in all the time. Neither the consciousness recedes within, nor the mind gets stilled, and I cannot appreciate the greatness of the word. I have taken the path of the masters, a high road to spirituality. Why then, O Master, dost thou take no hold of me? This noble path of the masters shall suffer a great setback if I succeed not in my endeavors. I cry for my egoistic reason, and do not resign myself to thy will. I beg of thee again and again, oh, give me the gift of thy word. O Master, word personified as thou art, I come to thee for relief. How can I liberate myself from the wiles of the mind? This is the problem of my soul. It has cast a deadly spell of worldly pleasures, and I am thus separated from my real home. Enmeshed in the 10 senses, I find myself in a vicious circle. Having been expelled from the 10th portal, I am wandering through the 9 gates. Caught in the web of worldly pleasure, I find no way out of the bondage. Beside the Master, I see nobody capable enough to lead me out of the wilderness. I am all afraid of Yama, the Lord of Death. Who else can free me of this fear? As a branch fallen off the tree, I am cast away from the real home. I beg the Master to get my mind to love his lotus feet. Purify my heart with thy satsang, for there it will separate itself from the body and contact the mystic sound, and then will I drink amrit nectar from the fount of immortality. And then, with pains and miseries disappear, and the soul will have no fear. Then will I contact the sound principle, word or shabd, and gain the love of my Swami, the Lord. O Lord, make me thine own. I have come, for I seek shelter at thy feet. And that's a prayer of Swami Shiv Dayal Singh. So I started my reading with O Mind, Listen for Once, Chapter 7 of Night is the Jungle, and also in September 1971, issue of Sat Sandesh, and concluded with a prayer that's located in the appendix of this book, Prayer by Kirpal Singh. Thank you all for listening, and thank you, Master, for giving us these wonderful words of inspiration.
This man body is a boat given to us to cross over the ocean of life. If there are other outlets from outside, which are our outward faculties, through which all impressions will come within us. As you told me the other day, about 80% of impressions are received through the eyes. 14 from the ears. Never from other cycles. So naturally, every day, from day to day, from hour to hour, he is being just under delusion, more delusion and more delusion from day to day. So those who rise above these opening faculties with the grace of God, are with the grace of God in man, they don't receive impressions outside. They use these outgoing faculties at their will and pleasure. Whereas average man is being dragged away by these outward faculties. Outward enjoyments drag the outward faculties, and outward faculties drag out mind. Mind is dragging also. So the master, when they come, they give the right way out to give you a demonstration how to rise above body consciousness and all your outgoing faculties. When you have a permanent seat, get there, then outward impressions do not affect you. There are no holes in the boat to drown you, you see. The boat may send the water, an impression from all. So this is, they are in the world, they appear to be in the world, but not of it. So this is the thing what you get from the society, from the satsangs, this company of the saints, They should give what you give them. They also give you. And context is the nectar, the water of life, by raising you above these outward faculties at the back of the eye. That has more taste. When the mind gets more taste with them, all the doubts of the enjoyments leave. You are not tested by the outward enjoyment. This is the blessing that you have at the feet of the mind. Of the satsang. Satsang does not mean your bodies are sitting by him and your mind is wandering outside. I give you an example of two friends. They were going out, one had a strong mind to attend to the cats. The other man wanted, I want to go to the playground. He had his own way. One went to the church, the other went to the playground. Now all the man sitting in the church, my friend Mark is sitting in the football. What is there? The man in the playground, what he can hear much to say there. So it's better to sit by the master. Does not give you like that, that is perfect. Even you don't receive the radiation code. Because you are not receptive. So, Master defined how to attend a satsang. Tommy says, hold a satsang, attend some satsang meeting. How? Do it what? When you go there, you forget the world outside. When you sit here, all you forget all the environment, you are sitting by you. When you sit there, you also forget your body too. All attention be absorbed. Eyes are the windows of the soul. How to attend a satsang? They define like that. Why we instead of attending so many satsang, we do not derive full benefit? Because our bodies are there, of course. But we are not there. Our attention is outside. It's a playground. You say, just really, how to attend this session, he said, it's like. So, masters tell us like that. If there is not attention, you may be mind wandering outside, your body is here. Another man sits there, wholehearted, whole attention. Eyes are the windows of the soul, that by radiation, you are receptive, you are affected. So he says, this is how we should can derive full benefit from the company of the satsang. Arjuna says, the whole creation is what? It is expression of him. It all came out of him. There is no place where he is not. The one you see, it is his expression of it. So they give us an example. There is a tree. I don't know what is it, it's that tenant. That very perfumed tree. Isn't it? When you rub that piece of that wood of the tree, that leaves you perfume. Central, that is called central road. He says the whole world is a central road place. And in central road place, he says the finest place are just in contact line with the tree to give them some, you see, peace or some satisfaction, you might say, or some cold, because you see, these snakes, when they bite somebody, sting somebody, the man is telling he feels like fat in this place, and the burning place, a pain is that. So they remain attached to the tree. Now I say, if you want to have the juice of that tree, how will you have it? The only way is that we cut the snakes with your sword and add the juice of the tree. This is an example here to show. It's all universe is a center of a tree. It is all his expression. There's no place. It is all his expression. But it is delusions. The snake got delusions, you see, is just all around the tree. So what is the way out? How to rise out, come out of the delusion? He says, when you sold off, what you say now? Jnana. What is jnana? Knowledge. Jnana is not literally finding, you see. It is just rising from body consciousness up, above, and come in contact with the God of expression power, and see. This is the true meaning of the word jnana. He said, take the soul of jnana, that is rise above body consciousness, and you will see, have that enjoyment of God within you. So all masters tell us how to come out of this delusion by rising above body consciousness, which is the source of all delusion, because you are identified with the body, which is thin. Every moment of life, and the world around us being made of the matter, which is also thinning at the same rate as our body is thinning, and we are identified in the surface space. To come out of that, you will find that God is, your inner eye is open, you see the dissolve, expression of God outside. So, this is the way. What will happen if you come in contact, have a conscious, beatific vision of God? The result would be that all your sins, which you committed in the past, up to date, ever since you left Father's home, they will be what? He gives an example. There are, what you say, great stores of wood. And if you just put in a little fire to it, that will burn down to ashes. Similarly, you got innumerable sins ever since you left the house of the Father. If you take what little bit of light which you mask in you, with that all these liberties. The reason is, when you become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, the ego is not who will suffer. In all other good acts, we are the doer, not bad acts. As we show social living, so you see that power is the working. Not we are the puppets in these hands. Naturally, nobody to bear the fruit of it. As you show social living, there's nobody to reap it, because you have become conscious co-worker of the divine plan. So that thing you can get, that light from the master. By coming in contact with that God into space and power, the two aspects of which is light and sound, you will burn away all your sins, ever since you have just recovered Father's home. So master always says, whatever you have been given, just speak with light anything. Now he says, this is what the master gives you. And the master, what is he? His word made flesh. His word made flesh. His light personified, his sound personified. So when you come near him, that very thing that is personified out, that is the word made flesh. The word has two aspects, light and sound, that radiate from the body of the self. You just sit in that field of area, and you become separate, you have that radiation. Light, perfume, flowers, you sit by them, near them, you'll get perfume or not. without question. And then the longer you keep coming, perfume, flowers, the whole room will be perfume. So they say, what to do? You just sit in your company, have a satsang, Abhi, in the company of such like saints who are world-based like. And be receptive to them, not be like the man playing, sitting in the church and thinking of the playground. So there's a radiation. Each man has a radiation. Though they have got more strong radiation, that radiation is what is already within them. Because they are one made flesh, that is radiated. To such extent in the field of area of the radiation of the saints, give you all this still faith. Only thing required is to be reset. All our room says, if you have the chance of sitting, such like as I am explaining to you, by a saint, even for 1 hour, that will give you more better results than you sit in penances for 100 years long. When you sit by a fire, you get heat, warmth, and you are trying to rub the wood against other, or from stone against other things, how will you get the heat? It's very difficult. So the physical presence of the master cannot be underrated. Of course, those who have got receptivity, they can derive that benefit even from thousands of miles. Just like radio, television. You hear the voice from thousands of miles. You can see who is speaking, what is he speaking to television. Similarly, if there nothing remains between you and the master, maybe being on the other side of the seven oceans, the master decides direct your attention. If you get that receptivity, you can derive the full benefit of the hearing. That has to be dwelt in the fate of those who have dwelt receptivity. But for others, naturally, the physical presence of the fit in the physical presence of the master is the radical change, if they are receptive. So masters tell us what to do. Sit by the company of the saints and the room with manifest. Then he goes further and says, to sit in the radiation and come in closer contact with him, and a man has got his clothes perfumed, he will touch it, pass by him, he approaches the perfumes. The man has got dirty clothes. If you touch it, you get it. Bad odor, you are close to the smelling bed. The whole thing lies to be fit within the radiation. In the field of action of radiation, you will be derived wonderful effects. Not like some people sit here, that I did not hear, because you were not there, his body was there, of course. So when would like to derive full benefit of the physical presence of the market, or some such like men, then there should remain nothing before you, between you and him. In not using your thinking, thought of your body too. Look, I love the video that. These are things that are in scriptures. Now, Guru Ram Dass speaks about other things. Those who are not happy, who have colored the worldly philosophy, those who have got bad order. He said, don't go near them. They are not in contact with God within them. They are in contact with the life of senses outside. All filth is within them. And that very filth is radiated. Bad order. Kabir says, you find such like a man, you run away from him. You need not, you should not pass by near, closer from them, because you might have infection. If you happen to talk to such a man, That's why it's carving when it's finished, you know. Ordinary trick, it's right. But later on, they're terrible pages. You come across such a moment. The thing actually, at the time, you won't be feeling much. Later on, that you are more and more. So sales advice, don't, as the company of those who are imbued with the fixed sense of the world to me. The radiation gives you all the atmosphere of God. They give you an example like that. If there are some fed all knots in them, what will you get from them? Because all the knots then, you cannot draw the long send out of that and the last can you have to woman. Similar things, he says, those people are already in those, they have not seen God. They have given up to the outward enjoyments like anything, that way it's in radiators in their company. So I can. Then again he says, what you should do? Take the company of the text. Go near him. Try to remain receptive to the radiation. Maybe a thousand supplying to them. Or close to his with full receptivity. The God word which is manifest there, that will have a incentive or boost. You'll find that very God within you. With little thought of it. 100 messages. He gives it in thought. And the outward, what you say, our attention is withdrawn from outside. Everybody, you have a glimpse of him. Isn't that wonderful? So, satsang I will give him. What is satsang? Make the best use of him. And more that, you see, Christ said, if more than one man sits in my name, I am there. When you all sit together in the church members, with God into his present power, or the human pole at which he is manifest, you by radiation of your faith. When people sit in such like attention, they sometimes see the form of the master too, with open eyes. And this is the feat of receptive. We should learn how to hold satsang. So, Master prays, oh God, you are highest of the highest. We are wearing physical body, natural body, causal body, super body. We are on the earth, you are on the sky. How can you reach you? Unless you rise up to that level. You see? So before that, is there any remedy for it? Study. How to come up to that level as you are, nearer to you, and that is the company of the saints. When you become the champion. So Master tells us everything in detail. This is given in scriptures. So right, to have the right interpretation thereof, you must have somebody who has experienced that. I'm just explaining to you one pillar of the three pillars which are most important in the social yoga. They give you contact with the Satnam Vijayam, and in the company of world wave flex, you have a boost. So that is why you see all of the masters also say the same thing in their own language, of course. To come in contact with the power of expression, power is the coming in contact with the water of life, with the nectar of life. That is the bread of life. That comes from where? From heaven. Whosoever partaketh of it shall have everlasting life. This can be given a contact by whom we already were made flesh. No intellectual can be do that. Of course, though who is just in the mouthpiece of that God power? He is a learned man, he will tell you these things from so many, giving you so many instances from literature and other things. Even if he is not, I think, have any degrees of outward education, you can give me a contact. You can have received that by radiation coming here in the field of action of the area. That's how I do it. So man body is the highest not, please. This man body is the ultimate goal to have a beatific vision of God. Yes. Before we die, Thomas Injun tells the custom that when a man is just ready, just light a candle and put it on the palm of the dying man and turn it to look into this flame of the candle, and the mantra which they read out that means this light will be accompany you hereafter. Light on the palm of this dying man is remaining here, what is that candle? It's not. They think that the light is with you, is not down. No, that's not. You know, see, the beauty of the Surya Yoga and Yoga. No other yoga can survive them. They have their own course. That's right. So, what is to be done? When you got to the insight, make it a point, you see. That's the most important, your most personal question. Strive to work that you got. We do not have final time for that. And for worldly things, it will not accompany us. We put it from mouth and light. And because we have no time to attend. At least in that case, if you have got no time to attend, then you don't even have a time to repent, to cry, to shed tears. At the time when nothing can be done. So that is why all marching behind. Guide the time by the format. Don't put it off till tomorrow what you can say. Procrastination is the chief of time. That does not affect your labels here. You are man, you see. Man, what is the temple of God? You are simply to invert. How to invert? That the mass station is given by mass. Part of it, accurately. So everything has its past and everything is future. So please, the time and tide waits for no man, you know? Time and tide waits no man, no man. It's passing away. And make the best use of the time at your disposal. What is past is past. What will come in future, you see. Live in the living present. That no second past, no minute past without. This is what the masters want from those who come to them, who are sent by God to him. Of course, it is he who sends and it is he who in him gives. Not the son of man. We respect the son of man. In whom, who can give this thing? In whom is manifest. But wherever such master put their feet, they don't become the places of pilgrimages. They will be moving pilgrimages. And they ask, wherever you say that becomes a place of pilgrimage. So this is, you see, take the best notes of the radiation you receive in the copy of the same. And what you got, they put more time into it by regular practices, so that you have as much time as you can for that purpose, because that is your and your only one. That when you hear and hear us in both the words, all other things will leave us. But the world and the world made flesh will never leave you. After that too. You are extending all feasible health and protection to you. Wherever you are, near and far, that may come. All masters say, all people say them.
So this is repeat.
Repeating the name, how quickly the session should you repeat them? separate question.
This is what I explained to you so many times. Tani, meditation, the power, that your gaze should be fixed. Repeat the name mentally at intervals, not in quick succession. Because if you do it in quick succession, the attention can be do one thing at a time, not two. That should be repetition, should be made automatic, not by reference to the meaning of it.
But how long?
How long? That is not for hours, you see? Fix your gaze, that will only give you a boost, automatic. That's it.
Yes.
You watch for it, you watch for 1 minute, you, the whole mind will be there in the watch of all the people gaze. It's automatically done.
It's the dream of the mind.
So, in dream, there are two kinds of dream, you see. One in which you are quite conscious. The other is you only have any idea in the morning you had seen something not there. So, in which you are conscious at the time, that is vision, not dream. Master gives some consolation to the man by coming down to vision.
Anyone else? All died out, no question.
The one thing I will tell you, if you knew all ifs and buts, go on with your meditation, no question raised. Yes? The pity is that we don't put it full time and full attention. As you wind your watch in the morning, that runs for 24 hours or weeks. So every day morning you just put in sufficient time, you have contact with that. No question at all just again. It's only due to that we are not doing what we are told to do with all our heart. All things indeed, all doubt to do. All questions is not there. This is what Upanishad says. You think, what is that? By knowing which, nothing more remains to be known. So that you have been given. That. Leave all questions, do it for a week or 10 days or a month. You will find him ready. Your mind won't rake up any question. It is up to you. If you can well afford it, that's all right. It is up to you. If not, go to your job. Don't take that and go. All right.
Thank you very much. See you tomorrow.